Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Well, church, today I just want you to know I got back from a conference down in Dayton, Texas, and then I was able to spend some time in Huntsville, Texas. That's a couple of churches we're affiliated with down there. And boy, we just had a great time. I want you to know God's doing great things all across his great country. And I'm going to say that today, if you're sitting here and you're looking at the screen, I want you to know we obviously have a light tech who is a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Or she just put some yellow with the red for Valentine's Day. I don't know which one it is. Or as I was told as we were praying for today's service, that if you want to just be all in the world, that's fine, but it could stand for the blood of Jesus. So I just want you to, Go Chiefs. Go blood. Go Chiefs. And go love, right? All those things. So amen. That's right. As I was at the conference this week, I pray that's not you, all you leave with today. I've got way more than just that. The blood of Jesus will be fine if you leave with that. But I was at the conference, and there was a statement made, and all week I pondered it. It's been in my mind, and I was like, okay, I've got to share that, because really this statement is why this year we're celebrating the new covenant. Jesus came, and the fact is, he established his church, the body of Christ. And so I heard this statement, and I agree with every part of it. And I think one of the reasons why we find ourselves in such a deficit in today's world as the church is for this reason. People come to church for tradition, not transformation. Families, you're not coming to church to raise your kids so they won't cuss, so they won't sleep around, so they won't take gummies. Your kids are growing up thinking what they've been programmed to think. They're sponges to whatever input they are given. And know this, if they're given two inputs that oppose each other, they will make a choice. And that choice will be based on which one's the most satisfying for them. See, they're three-part beings just as we are. And they oftentimes listen to the wrong part of their being. Children do that. And you're like, why did they? Well, it's whichever part they're enjoying the feed from. It's not an issue sometimes of whether sin versus righteousness. Sometimes they just decide based on preference. Or they decide based on which voice is the loudest. Their phone, their friends, sometimes their family. And the sad part is, church is not a voice, it's just an attendance record. We have to go to church. That's just what we do because it's our tradition. It's not because we've been transformed. It's because it's just what we do. And if we're coming to church based on tradition and not transformation, your kids are going to grow up cold, and they will learn possibly to be attenders one day. But nothing will ever spark in their life because they don't really believe God wants to do something supernaturally through them. Their goal, as their parents' goal has been, is to attend. Kids today grow up and they know if dad leads the home or not. They know if prayer is present in the home or not. They know if mom or dad act differently through the week than they do on Sunday at church. So there's a revelation that you need that'll change your life. And that one key revelation you've got to get in your life is you are wanted. You are wanted. Now I can tell you all day that Christian Ministries Church wants you, but what you're wanted is you're wanted by God to be in relationship with him. All through the Old and the New Testament, we see God's proximity. God made man from the dust of the ground. Out of man came woman, and God wanted to be with them. Then they sinned. And so we begin to see that God went to great lengths and created measures to be with them. He let them sacrifice for atonement so that God could continue to be in relationship with us, mankind. God knew sin would push us away from him. So he put a temple in the middle of his people, and his presence was there. In the New Testament, he wanted in relationship so much that he sent his son Jesus to come. And it's all because God wanted to be with his people. And then he let the Holy Spirit be a present in our lives and to be in us and work in our hearts and through our lives. There's an idea all through Scripture. All through Scripture, God wants in relationship with his people. And he doesn't want you just coming to church because of tradition. He wants a transformation in your life. I'm getting way too worked up for just starting this. If you miss this concept, you can actually come to church and never get the real meaning of why you're even here. You can sing, you can clap, you can enjoy church, you can even cry and get emotional. Yeah. But you can miss the meaning of why you're actually here. And what I want you to know is you're wanted by God. Yeah. You're wanted. God wants you in a relationship with him. He set up everything so you could be. Everything will change out of that relationship. And if you miss this fact, you're missing everything. Yeah. So many come just to get fixed. Just want to get fixed. Or they just want to fulfill a spiritual duty. And that spiritual duty is oftentimes based on tradition or guilt or shame for the way that they have lived or are living. And they never get the true meaning of why God has established what he did. And the whole reason he did it is so you could be where he is. All through Scripture. It's so you can be where he is. And enjoy his presence, and he enjoy yours. There's just too many of God's people running around defeated because they've missed the relationship that would destroy defeat. So much rejection, so much pain. The enemy tries his best to keep you frustrated, and it gets worse the closer you get into relationships or into a relationship with him. It should not surprise you that there's frustrations in life if you are getting near to God. You start getting near to God and frustrations hit you right and left. And the next thing you know, you've just missed the relationship because the enemy grabbed your attention and took you off of where you needed to be headed. When things are right with him, I'm telling you, life is better. Life is better. People are way easier to love and to deal with. And to actually enjoy when your first love is God. Yes, when you're excited about him, people don't really move you away. But we've got people who don't understand how to get there. They don't understand. Well, I'm glad you're here today because I want to talk about this. God wants you. He doesn't want the cleaned up version. Well, if I get cleaned up, I'll come to church. He died for the smelliest, tackiest, grossest. Is that a, that's not a word. I just threw that one. Sin-filled yuck. Why did he do that? I mean, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Yeah, God wants that person because it's in that person that his light can shine and they can see that, wow, without him, that's all what I am. And when you start thinking you're all that because you've got some of the principles of the word, and you've missed the relationship, then you're missing his light shining through you. And we've got people in church that's right there. I want to ask you a question. What is your favorite soft drink? Everybody got it in their mind? I asked someone this question yesterday. I said, well, actually, the question was, have you ever tried Topo Chico? So I'll ask you, have you ever tried Topo Chico? It's a mineral water. You can buy it at different places. Especially with lime. And this person said, no, I've never had that. So I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite? I just told you, what's yours? Ready? On three, everybody just fill in the blank. One, two, three. That's why we have so much division in the church. Because nobody knows what the right one is. they just don't have a clue. I mean, the church can be so divided just over what soft drink we are serving. So true. And we just were. If you begin to tell me the soft drink, and I've never had that soft drink, and I didn't hear you, I didn't want to try it, I think you're obviously confused because you either haven't tried what I've tried, and you actually know nothing about soft drinks, because I know the best, and you have to be wrong. It's the exact same principle that's happening in the body of Christ. We are giving the word of God that will change people's lives. And people are like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. I'm not really sure that'd work for me. I don't know if you even know what you're talking about. I didn't want to hear that. I don't want to. I'm tired of you trying to tell me how to do with my life. And I need to be doing more. Blah, 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 blah. And when we say things like church is the most important part of your whole week, it'll be the greatest thing you will spend this week doing. Yeah. We have people in here this morning who would not believe that. And you say, well, you don't really know that. No, you're thinking that there are other things that are way more important. And I can tell you, had the Chiefs game been at 10 o'clock this morning, there probably wouldn't be this many people here today. Because your soft drink is not someone else's. So you think about the discrepancies. We have people who don't think church is the greatest thing they could spend their time doing. Their thinking is, I don't know if you're right. I really think that playing sports every weekend with my child and me not missing one of their games and them chasing their dreams and me being there to support them is actually more profit than my kids being in church every Sunday. Why? Because they don't agree with the soft drink. There's division in how we look at church. Let me take it further. There's division in how we view God. And what he sets up as priority. See, well, I go to church. That's because it's traditional for you. It's an attendance. All the while, you're frustrated that your teenager doesn't really know God. You're not really raising your kids to know God. This is the only thing that I want to drink. I didn't want to listen to advice. I didn't want anything else going in me. This is what I drink. Even though something else may have been way better for you, this is what I drink. Are you getting this?
Yes, so good.
Everyone will amen a sermon, maybe not out loud, but internally, when we're talking about what God will do for you. They're going to amen that. I mean, and if you're not careful, you'll turn God into the pimp sugar daddy God that you want him to be.
Man.
Or he'll just, come on, Jesus, I'm believing you're going to do this in my life. And you just come to church and then you go do nothing and you get complacent and you show up periodically for your fix. So we do nothing. We model not doing anything. Then we have a family not doing anything, all the while thinking that while we are waiting on God to do something, he's waiting on you to do something. He has everything set up for you to do it and be successful. Yet your way just keeps getting in the way. God is trying to do something in you today so that you be compelled to live different, but you just keep running. Well, I'm in church. Yeah, but you're here because of tradition or attendance. And you're hoping that God will do something in your life because you're here. And what he's saying is, I want to transform you.
Wow.
Yes.
I want transformation. We come to church. Well, that's some good preaching. Maybe today you're like, I don't really like this. Well, amen the sermons. Live like everything's going great on Sunday morning. We still can't manage our finances at home. Our marriage is barely alive. We're still yelling at each other. And if it's not at our spouse, it's our kids. We've been saved for 15 years and we can't stop porn. We're still as impulsive with our feelings as we were before we confessed Jesus. We put our promises in life on everything we want to do, not on what God's asked us to do. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to ask you today, what's the difference between an adult and a child? A child is a taker or consumer or a receiver, if you will. That's what a child is. An adult is a producer. Now, a child acts and does without responsibility, and an adult produces responsibility. A child's impulsive, and we're working all the time, parents, to transform them into not acting like a child. So I want to ask you today, are you moving into adulthood? And I'm not just asking the children. When we have a hard time getting anything done for the kingdom, are you taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Or do you just want to tell everybody exactly how you feel, and I want to call everyone out for hurting my feelings and blame everybody else for why I'm where I'm at, blame society, blame the culture, blame the economy, and I'm suffering and nobody knows that you're a child? Or am I going to reel that thought in before it gets out of my mouth and I'm attacking and blaming everybody else, and I'm going to bring that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and I'm going to go, I want to say something, it's about to come out of my mouth. And in Jesus' name, and you calm down, and you walk out different from.
That's so good, actually.
That's what an adult does. He's got, I'm not saying the thought's not there, but you bring that thought captive. That's what maturity does. A child don't bring anything captive, and they just let her out. I've stood in line at Walmart. I hear them. Some of the things they say, like, I'm sorry, I don't know where he heard that. I know exactly where he heard that. Whatever input you've put him in or put her in. Matthew 4:18. Oh, I love this. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were drug dealers. They were reprobates. They were meth heads. They were prostitutes. They were liberals. They were farmers. They were truck drivers. They were accountants. Let's keep reading. Then he said to them in verse 19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately. Their response was immediate. When God said, their response was, God said, immediate. There, God said, and immediately. God, wouldn't it be awesome if God could just be that direct with us, follow me, and we just immediately did. The sad part is, we're not doing it. They didn't say, hey, let me run home first and take care of a couple things I need. They didn't sit and contemplate. They didn't, I don't know if I want to or not. I mean, we caught fish last week. We're thinking we're going to. If we're not careful, we'll never do what God has called us to do, and what we end up doing is blaming God for it. God called you to do something, and you didn't immediately do it, and then you're blaming God for him not showing up and showing out where you're at. Follow me, he said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Once again, immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Immediately, he called more people, and immediately they went with him too. Jesus is calling men out not to just different, not to just something different, but to something better. Now, he's calling them out to a purpose that's different than what they had called themselves to. You got to see this, so stay with me here for a second. It was different than what they had traditionally seen and done. It was just different, but they immediately followed him. Jesus is saying it, and I just can't help, but this is kind of, I want you to come into this new life, into this new worldview, into this new way of thinking. And I'm not getting in the boat with you guys, so I'm a part of your life, but I'm asking you to get out of what you have created and come with me and be a part of my life.
So
it'll change everything. But what has the church done for years? Ask God to come and join you. Ask God to come and be a part of your life. That's not what happened. When he calls a disciple, he says, you guys have to leave your nets, your way of life. You leave your boat and you come follow me. There's a different way that we're going to be doing things. Way too many people want to make room for Jesus in their life and wondering why we're not experiencing everything the preacher's talking about. Because you've never left your boat. You've never left your way of life. You never left. You just made a little bit of room. Here, Jesus, come on, I'll make some room for you right here in my life. Come and get in our boat and go where we're going. Now, that may be really hard to hear, and the shame and blame game starts, and some of you will shut me out right here. But I want you to know God's a good parent. He corrects those he loves, and the Word does that.
Yeah.
And he's calling you to something more.
If
we're not careful, we'll choose vagueness in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And I've watched Christian people be vague for way too long. People are vague. Vague means unclear of direction. They're vague. They don't really know. We don't want to admit that we may need some change here. Maybe we live vague because it's scary to commit. But we live vague because we think we're giving all we can right now and there's just no time left. Maybe we live vague because it's easier to pretend than to participate. Maybe we choose living vague because we don't want to have a disagreement. But the finances in our home, we know they're not right. And we're living vague in our homes. When we know things aren't right, well, I brought it up, and every time we do, we get in this big fight because we don't agree. And so we think not saying anything, things will get better. Being vague, things don't get better because the law of entropy enacts itself and things go from order to disorder without an outside source coming in and bringing it to order or keeping it there. And when you got a husband and wife that are supposed to be one flesh and they're living totally different because there are a lot of things that you just can't talk about, it can be anything. You stick your head in the ground, you know that that area is heading towards death. God's trying to get his word to you, but you're going to have to leave your way of thinking. You've got to leave your time standards. Leave uncomfortableness. Go to his way. We've created other options in our life. Let me just tell you, Matthew 5:37, the Bible says that there is yes and there are no. And your yeses need to be yes and your no's need to be no. Get that. But we have chose, we're going to try and maybe. I'll try, maybe. Come on. Will you be there? I'll try. We're thinking about it. Maybe. Try, church, hear me. Try is a manipulation technique. You may not even know you're doing this. Making someone think something that really isn't true to get them off your back, not deal with an issue. People choose vagueness so they don't have to commit. Saying, I'll try or maybe is vague. God's people got to quit being vague, and their yeses need to be yes, and their no's need to be no. Will you be there? Yes. People choose that because they don't want to commit. They choose vague because I don't want to commit. I want you to know God's calling you to more. Not I'll try to show up. I'll try to read my Bible. I'll try to control my temper. I'll try to pray and spend some time with him. I'll try. Sounds like you won't. Well, maybe I'll be at church. Maybe I'll help with that. You can count on me, maybe. Nobody says that. You can count on me. Maybe. Why? Because you don't want the truth revealed. You want to stay vague. If circumstances work out, I'll be there. You can know there's an enemy. And if you can't commit and you say try or maybe, you've just made a bad choice. Because you've left yourself open. You're just living vague. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't vague? I'm so glad. I'll try and die for you. Maybe I'll take care of things for you that you couldn't take. I might. So many call themselves or think of themselves as someone of high character. And know this, you can call yourself whatever you want. We've proved that over the last 4 years. You can call yourself whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, know this. Just because you're calling yourself something, when you're living vague, you're not that something. Person of high character, yes is yes and no is no. You got to ask yourself that question. God says he's the same yesterday, forever. He's a yes God and wants his people to be a yes people. When he says, come follow me, he wants a yes, sir. Let's go immediately. Matthew 7:22. Many who say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Why? Because you never left your way. You never left to go with him. You never left your boat. You never left your nets. You stayed in your life and tried to bring him into your life instead of going to be in his.
Wow.
You never left. Now, you were moved, but you never left. You were emotional, but you never left. You cried, but you never left.
Man.
You made room for him in your boat, but you never left that boat. You just never left. Our society loves to call out people. Jesus was calling them out, but it wasn't the same way our society calls people out. He was calling them to him. Jesus was not attacking anyone. He was activating them. Not attacking them, activating them to be all they could be. He saw something in them. He sees something in you today. He sees something. God's wanting to activate our faith. He is wanting us to come to Jesus. There's a lot of come to Jesus talks without Jesus in the talk. Jesus called out his disciples and they came. If you're going to move into what I have for you, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to place yourself with me. Quit asking me to be in your boat. Come be in what I'm doing. I want you to listen. I want you to be taught. Jesus is saying, I gave you the Holy Spirit to activate things in your life that you're not activating. Why? Because all you feel is attacked. This morning, there are people in church this morning that are feeling attacked, and all I'm trying to do is give you some activation. Let's activate this. Jesus isn't condemning you. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, activate your faith. Quit being vague with him. Well, I might. I'll think about this all week. How about this? I'll pray about it. You didn't see the disciples say, let me pray about that, Jesus. I'll get back with you. Why? Because he's the one that's asked you to do something. Therefore, you don't have to ask him whether or not you should. If he's who you're praying, and he already told you, there ain't no praying here. Go do it. Jesus had something he wanted to do by taking them out of their boats. He wanted to transform them. You can only be transformed when you are not vague, when you leave old patterns and be with him. He wanted to change them from brokenness to bait. Think about that. When he starts introducing you to his life and you get transformed, then you become bait. People are drawn to Jesus because you became like him. And they're drawn to him in you. Families change when they see that their lives left and they transformed into what God wanted them to be. Kids start eating something different, but they're only going to eat what you parents feed them. Absolutely. Don't ever expect your kids to pray outside of church if you never pray outside of church. They never see that. Well, we're trying. Vague. I will pray outside of church. See, we've got to quit living vague. All you do is you attack people and the things of God. And you might not think you are, but you are condemning everything and everyone. They're judging me. Well, you put yourself in a position that was hard to take your eyes off of. And they're not judging you, they're praying for you. Someone that's truly with God is loving you where you're at and wanting you to transform your life. Jesus wants that. What you do in life will either be based on you having left or based on tradition, and you think you're staying, but you never left. Frankly, I never left. I just never left. The way I spend my money, my investments, why I'm not tithing is because I've been here over a year, and why you're not tithing makes absolutely no sense. It's because spiritual development requires leaving.
Yep. Wow, that's really good.
It just does. Traditionally, I've never tithed, so why should I now? Well, your tradition is going to send you to a place of no blessing, and before long, you'll leave church. And that's exactly what the enemy wants of you. He don't want you hearing something that can transform your life. He don't want you hanging out where Jesus is hanging out. Anything that was normal based on what I thought or what I've always done, and I stay there and I don't leave, means that you're only there because of your parents. Therefore, God, if he was their parent, your parents' parent, God has no grandkids.
Right.
He only has kids. And so at some point, you got to get into a relationship with him and spiritually develop. And it's so much more than just learning. Sometimes spiritual development is unlearning.
Oh, man, that's really good, Ashley.
What do I have to unlearn? Well, you're acting just like the broken home you grew up in. And you call that normal because you're basing it on a worldview. And God said, come with me and leave that worldview. You're coming into revelation that by God's grace, you don't have to repeat the same for your home.
That's right.
Praise God, I left that. See, what are you unlearning today? Knowing God has a plan for your life. When Jesus called them to him, it was indication that life needed a change from what was normal or what was traditional. I want you to know, discipleship is way more than a class. It's a lifestyle. You are forever being discipled into the person God wants you to be. Everyone here has a responsibility in the church of God. The church of Christ, the body of Christ. Everyone has a responsibility in the church. If you don't know what it is, then you need to be headed towards figuring it out. And it will take leaving what was traditional forever.
Right.
Well, I've never had a job in the church. I know you need to leave that. Because the body of Christ requires that we all, using our giftings, are involved with the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Those of you that are serving in the church, you can't be good at what you do and have any anointing without knowing that the love of God is what produces anointing.
Yes.
The love of God flows out of a love for people. And so actually working in the church, I have watched this, can cause you not to love people anymore. I'm just telling you. Working in the church can cause you not to love people. Jesus said as an example, his love for us. Everything that he did in his whole life was because of his love for people. And I want you to know that his love for people is what brings the anointing.
Yeah.
Your love for people will bring you into an anointed place. And when you just start sharing the truth without the love for people, then there's no anointing. And the truth becomes condemnation. And I don't want people condemned. I want them activated. Activated means that they received the truth in love, which means it was anointed. All love without truth is not anointed. All truth without love is not anointed. The love of God and the love for people with the truth of God as your backing brings an anointing that breaks the enemy's hold. Two thoughts to end with today. When you receive the call for your life, most people think that I had that and I'm saved. Okay, great. I'm talking to saved people. You receive the call for your life, you're saved. I want you to know that after salvation, there's more required of you. There's more required. You just finally received what could get you all the requirements and you could live by them. So I received salvation, and now he's saying, okay, you know who I am. You've accepted who I am. Now what I need to do is I need to leave and go. Leave and follow. I need to leave my old way of thinking. I need to leave. Well, how do I do that? I surrender. There's a word that has just become all churchy. I mean, I surrender all. I mean, we know these songs, those songs of the church. Some of the old people do. And when we'll sing them, but we've not surrendered anything except for to tradition.
Yeah.
We've not surrendered to transformation. Let me talk about surrender. Surrender, what am I going to surrender? What do I surrender? I surrender worry. I surrender time. I surrender pain. And I surrender pride. Now, I can't just say there's the four and leave it there. If you're not willing to surrender these four things, then you're not willing to go through transformation. And you will leave today the same way you walked in. Transformation immediately can happen when you surrender these four things. So the two points that I have, first is you have to surrender. I'll get to the second one here in a second. Because like all preachers do, they have to talk about what they just said. Jesus, I would go with you. I would leave. I would. I would go, but I'm worried. I would go, but I don't have time. Come on. I would go, but it's just too painful for me. I would go, but there are just other things that are too important to me right now. I would go and do what you've asked me to do, but I'm not surrendered.
Yeah.
See, I haven't surrendered worry, time, pain, pride. I would go. I would serve, but I'm worried about that I wouldn't do it right. I just don't know that I have the time to commit to that. I don't know. Last time I served, it was real painful because I remember how people treated me. Or pride comes in and, wait, somebody else can do that. I've got other things that are more important than I do. See, you're keeping your family from growing in the Lord just because you won't surrender. And when your kids surrender to something, you're trying to pull them out of it. I'm just worried. God will give you a peace that passes that. Just go with him. Well, I don't know if I have time. God will make the most out of your time. You know, the more I've matured in the Lord, time don't get me as much, near as much anymore. It's just not. It's not because I'm old and don't have kids at home. I've learned how to handle my time and prioritize what's most important. Well, I'm just so out of time. If you're saying that, you need to leave. I just don't have time to do anything. Then how's God going to do anything in your life? Because you said, no, I'm not leaving this. I'm all stuck in this time. God can make more out of your time than you can. Well, I can't surrender. I'm just in pain. I know how you've been treated. It was bad. I know what happened in the past. It was bad. I get it. You were hurt. I get all of that. And I'm not getting hurt again. So you're not serving. You're not going to do what God called. I'm not leaving. I get you were hurt, but go with Jesus, because going with Jesus, he'll heal the pain.
Yes.
I understand. It was bad. That's why you need to surrender that pain and go with him.
Yeah.
Many have just been numb. Something happened that's keeping you from surrendering. You've been shaken, but you remain.
Yeah.
Don't remain in tradition. Remain in Christ. Pride, I don't know. It hardens our heart. You begin to rely on only what you know. But you don't rely on God. You rely on the content you have learned. All week, you rely on everything that you know. You read self-help books. You go to seminars to help with your business. You go to training things to help you be the best in your area. Not realizing what you have learned is actually keeping you from surrendering to God's way. Prideful people don't pray. Prideful people don't admit wrongs. Prideful people don't apologize. They don't forgive. Prideful people don't express gratitude. Prideful people don't forgive. They don't tithe. They don't serve. They don't show up. Prideful people don't care. They'll say, well, I'm not mad at them. I understand they'd like me to help, but I don't really care. I just don't care. I get it. I don't care. I get it.
Yeah.
You're just like Jesus. That's who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
He don't care.
That's right. Yeah, come on. Come on.
Come on. At what point are we going to say, that's ignorant?
For sure.
That's operating like I'm a child, but I want to mature in the things of God and grow up and be different. You're going to have to leave. So the first thing is, you got to surrender. Here's the second thing. You're going to have to allow him to transform you. You got to surrender to him. And then you got to stay in the process of transformation. Transformation equals formation. I don't understand. I am the potter. You are the clay. That's what God said. I'm the potter. We are who? We're the clay. What's clay? It's moldable. And it may hurt, but you're going to look different than you did when you came in. Clay don't look the same. It changes. The formation process is called, to give you a big churchy word, sanctification. You're being renewed. You're being sanctified. What does God have to do to get your attention today? Fact is, he's trying to get you to see that surrender is needed. And I'm telling you, not one of us can say there's an area. If you'll be obedient and just listen to God, that he's saying, you need to leave that. There'll be an area. You need to leave that and you need to surrender. And it'll all be a result of either pride's getting in the way, time's getting in the way, there's going to be something getting in the way and you're not surrendering and I'm not surrendering. So-and-so hurt me and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. That's why I'm not doing it. You're surrendered totally to the wrong thing. You're surrendered to your pain. And you've got to surrender the pain. I just want you to see this morning, God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. There's a call on your life. He wants to spend time with you. Me's going to sit here and think that this message was solely for someone else. It was not for me. I'm thinking about 100 people that needed to hear this. If you've been in church for a year, for 4 years, and you've been moved time and time again, and you've done nothing, you may not need another sermon. You need a spanking. At what time are you going to surrender to the call of God on your life? And it's not a spanking from anyone here. And it's not a spanking that God's wanting to bend over. That's not it. What he's wanting to do is correct you, and he does that with his word.
Yes.
And so the word corrects us, and we see life different. It's not a spanking out of anger. It's to get your attention and activate you. The world looks the same as the church. We've got a problem here. You can't keep going to work looking like everybody else, bringing all your drama. That's not, you bring the same drama as everyone else is and nobody even knows. Can you just, you need to bring some things captive and your mouth needs to be one of the first things. If God grabbed your attention today, I want to ask you, what do you do with it? I want to ask for the pianist to come up. And I want to encourage you, come on today. Let's leave the boat.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.